My sermon this morning is entitled, God Said, I Will Now Establish My Everlasting Covenant with You. So, I'd like to take a survey. Wherever you are, you can raise your hand or raise your hand in your mind or physically, whichever is comfortable. Don't raise your hand if you're driving. But I want to take a survey. How many of you would like getting something for nothing? And how many of you, if you got something for nothing, would remember getting something for nothing? You see, our second reading this morning from the book of Genesis shows us very clearly that God is giving us the biggest, most amazing something in return for the least and most insignificant nothing. Dear God, please come into me this morning. Please speak through me. Let the words of my mouth enlighten, let the words of my mind and heart enlighten this, your scripture, so I may be a vessel to bring your love, your grace, the wonders of your covenant into the minds and hearts of this, your beloved community, wherever they are, worshiping together. Amen. So, God is giving us the biggest and most amazing something in return for the least and most insignificant nothing. Let me explain. 14 years ago, my beautiful, talented, persistent, fiercely loving wife, Sarah, and I say fiercely loving because as I was recovering, and we've been together 38 years in marriage and 44 years together total, I saw new parts of my wife that were just so amazing in her fierceness to get me better. But 14 years ago, Sarah took a group of 12 students to a small island off the coast of Turkey called Kaimnos. It's part of Greece. And this was for a painting workshop. And I went along. I would take pictures of the students and maybe take some pictures of Greece. But 14 years ago, little did I know that at that time, God was preparing me to preach this message this morning. So I'd like you to imagine a small fishing boat. I don't know much about boats, but I'm talking small, maybe 30 feet, I don't know. Had a little cabin, had a little awning in the back of it. And this fishing boat had a young man, captain, and his wife, and his mother-in-law. And then there were the 12 students of Sarah and myself, and Sarah, 17, 18 people on board that boat. And we went out for a fishing trip or something. We weren't sure what. And as part of the deal, they would feed us two fresh-caught seafood meals. Now, I didn't exactly know what they meant, and I kind of was thinking maybe they're going to the food store before we leave and putting things in the ice locker. But as we were traveling and traveling, suddenly off a coast like that, the boat stopped a little further offshore, and the captain stepped out from behind the wheel, went over to the edge of the boat, took off his shirt, took off his pants. He had a bathing suit on underneath. He put a knife between his teeth, picked up a mesh bag, and dove headfirst into the water. And we didn't see him. He disappeared for fully 15 minutes. Except when he came back, that mesh bag was full of all kinds of fresh caught sea life. Note to self, if that ever happens to you, don't hold out your hand if the captain asks you to, because you may get a small octopus in it. But whatever. And then his wife and mother-in-law started preparing this meal in this kitchen on that boat that was the size of this podium. And they prepared, and they cooked, and they prepared. And then soon before we knew it, there was this feast of seafood, fresh caught, that we could eat with fresh salad and olive oil and bread. It was the most amazing feast. And after we ate, the boat moved around some of the small islands in the Dodecanon chain and then started turning to home. Except it didn't start back soon enough because a thunderstorm came up and we were caught in a thunderstorm at sea. And this boat was struggling against the winds to get back to Paphos, the capital city of Kalymnos. And there was barely any shelter from the wind or the rain. And next thing we knew, the captain's wife brought out a large, this size, literally, bottle of ouzo. It's alcoholic. And passed it around to all of the students. And before you knew it, that large bottle of ouzo had disappeared. And the rain didn't seem so bad. And so the mother-in-law then brought out a second large bottle of ouzo. And it's amazing how dry you can be in the middle of a rainstorm when you are singing, dancing, and laughing and drinking ouzo. I didn't drink, but the other people did. Okay, so we finally got back to port. And then we got taxi cabs and went up to the top of the hill where we were staying in a guest house, dried ourselves off, and 1 hour later, the doorbell rang. And we went downstairs, and the sea captain was there, this Greek captain, with his wife, and they had two platters. You see, they brought the rest of the food they caught for us that day. They brought it so we could eat dinner. This was fresh caught seafood. Some of those are sea urchins. And this was a very memorable meal, especially when my wife Sarah realized that the sea urchin she was about to eat was still moving. Now, that whole part of our Greek adventure was really memorable. But, so I'm going to tell you a second story. And the second story has to do with the St. Savas Monastery, also on the island of Kalymnos. And this monastery is at the top of a hill. And so Sarah and her students went up that hill and set up to be painting the scenery around the monastery. It was beautiful. And as they were painting outside, I went inside to this church. Every inch of the walls and ceilings were painted with frescoes. Every inch. And there were icons and there were statues. And there was incense and lighted candles. And if you looked, you could see very, very solemn, bearded Greek Orthodox priests. And they were moving slowly with their hands praying and their heads bowed. And they looked magnificent in their black hats and long robes. So solemn, so holy. It was transcendent. And then I walked out of the monastery. And I went around the back because I wanted to photograph. And there in the back of that monastery were a dozen clotheslines. And they were filled up with the white boxer shorts of those magnificently solemn Greek Orthodox priests. Now, that was memorable. But. Final story. Third morning we were there, Sarah and I got up early so we could walk down the hill into the town of Paphos. And this town has lots of winding streets, old buildings. And as we were walking along, we smelled something. It was a smell that was coming from around a corner. And so we went down the street, turned the corner, and we saw a bakery. Now, the doors of the bakery were open, and there was a small truck in front of the bakery, and one of the bakers was loading loaves of bread into the truck. Fresh baked bread. And the smell was astonishing. It was coming off the bread. It was coming off his clothes. It was coming out the door. And so I gestured if I could take a picture, and he nodded his head, yes. And as I put the camera down, he reached out and gestured that Sarah and I should take this loaf of fresh baked bread. He wanted nothing in return. He was giving us something, and he wanted nothing. And this story is the most memorable story of all of the stories of that trip to Kaimnos. I still can smell that bread. I still can see the smile on his face and the kindness in his eyes. And I still can remember Sarah and I walking down those streets, taking those pieces off of that bread and just loving how it tasted and smelled. And yet, in comparison to those stories about the boat, about the monastery, that beautiful story about the bread, in comparison, God is giving us the most amazing and awesome gift of something and wants nothing in return. You see, the Holy Spirit was telling me 14 years ago, even though I didn't realize it, that on February 21st, 2021, I would be preaching this sermon about God making a covenant with Noah. And I would be preaching this sermon after being away for 2 weeks and so joyful to be back. And I would be preaching this sermon because, according to the lectionary, this was the Old Testament reading for today. And then, according to the lectionary, now here's the way God works. The lectionary was put together 25 years ago. They put that lectionary together. They had no idea that in 2021, we would need to hear the story of God's covenant with Noah in such a desperate fashion. You see, as we read that God is telling Noah and us that he loves us beyond measure, that he will never leave us, we, this year, need this more than ever because we have suffered over 500,000 people dying from a pandemic. We have suffered from church doors being closed. We have suffered from people having food insecurity and financial insecurity. And right now, the people in Texas are suffering because of the cold in ways they could not have imagined. You see, God knows what we need to hear when we need to hear it. And the Holy Spirit has given us such a gift to remind us that after all of these troubles this year, God's love for us is unyielding and always pursuing, that God is giving us the biggest and most amazing something. For the least and most insignificant nothing on our part. This covenant is not based on what we can do for God. this covenant is truly, fully based on what God is doing for us. And next Sunday, the Old Testament reading will also focus on another covenant, God's covenant with Noah. And then the following Sunday, the lectionary Old Testament reading will focus on God's covenant with Moses. And even though these covenants are unique to each person and each time, everyone reminds us that God fervently wants to be in relationship with us. Professor Cameron Howard pointed this out to me, and I never would have thought of this had I not read this. I'm going to give you her words. During the season of Lent, the story of the flood covenant reminds us that God has an incarnational side in the Old Testament also. God has always desired to be in relationship with humanity. And if you have thought, as most people do, well, the incarnation, that's Jesus coming down to earth living as a human, yeah, New Testament. But Professor Howard is pointing out that God is so fiercely wanting to connect and be in relationship in each of these covenants, that there is an incarnational aspect of that even in the Old Testament. So my message this morning is, please never forget that God is giving us the biggest, most amazing something for our least and most insignificant nothing. Professor Elizabeth Webb really brings this point home. I want to give you her words. The flood has not cleansed the human heart of sin, but God knows this. And God enters into covenant with us anyway. God will seek us and seek us. God will not give up on loving us into restoration in relationship with Him. Wow. So I'd like, as we start our Lenten journey, think about those times in your life when you've got something for nothing. And take moments to savor those times. But don't stop there. Think about this covenant that God made with Noah. The bulletin will be posted or emailed to you. Go back to Genesis and read the Genesis scripture. Because you will see again and again and again in that scripture, God is saying over and over, He wants to be in relationship with us. And in this time of so much tragedy and difficulties, that is the most amazing gift. So we give thanks and praise for God's covenant, and we pray that we can live into this wonderful gift, especially as we move through Lent, especially as we move towards the Good Friday death and Easter Sunday resurrection of Jesus. And I especially give thanks and praise that the Holy Spirit has worked in the hearts and minds of our beloved worshiping community here at Royal Oak. They have decided that they will be doing communion 2 times a month. Unusual in the United Methodist denomination. But with this communion this morning, we are again celebrating the most amazing something that God is giving us. For the least and most insignificant nothing on our part, we are able to celebrate the gift of Christ's body and blood, the gift of Christ's salvation. So for all of this, we give thanks and praise to God. We give thanks and praise to the Father, the Son, the Spirit, as they work in our lives in so many ways, seen and unseen. Amen.